Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, radio listeners, and welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia. I am Delia Farquharson, and I guess it's relief because the 16-day shutdown of our government seems to be over as a deal has been reached, so I guess we should be grateful for that. Thank you for joining us for another episode. We have an exciting discussion lined up for you, but before we get into that, I want to welcome my guest co-host, my awesome husband, Raymond.
Hello.
Yeah, so today, hi Raymond, how are you?
I am fine, thank you. How are you?
So today, we're going to be talking about something that we're too young to be ready for, but we're not too young to start thinking about or talking about, and that's retirement. And this was your idea to have this discussion. How come?
Thanks. Well, I think over the years I've watched a lot of people retire from, you know, different places where I've worked, and it's been something that I've always thought about, like, is there an alarm clock that goes off and said, all right, it's now time to start planning for this, or what does that plan look like, or, you know, what will retirement be like? And I've met people on both sides where they have retired and it's as if they fell off the cliff and they become, you know, quality of life changes, and over time, in short time, they are, you know, very ill, and shortly thereafter they pass away. And less I would meet folks who are so enjoying retirement that they can't believe it took them this long to get to this point, and if they had it all to do again, they would have figured out how to start it earlier. So that's, and then in my own mind, and in our, you know, and I know you and I have talked about it ourselves in terms of, you know, what would we want the word retirement is such a specific word, but what would it look like, and when should it start, or do we wait for someone else to tell us when it starts?
Right. And so, when we started to consider this topic, mm-hmm. one of the things that came to my mind was mm-hmm. the sense that, like, retirement is not an event so much as it is a continuum, you know? It's kind of like and the next phase. And so it's not an event. It's not something that you arrive at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that you transition into.
Really? Or is it... is that what you would like to think that it is?
Yeah, that's my mind. That's
okay.
My perception of it. Is that... But for many people, I think it's like you said, it's an alarm that goes off. It's 65 or 30 years or whatever it is.
Right.
And then, ding, it's time to go into retirement.
Right.
I mean, there are people, and I know you've seen it because you've probably seen many more people retire than I have.
Right.
But there are people who retire and, like, the day of retirement comes and they have not a clue what they will do the next day.
Right. But when you talk to them, and you, because I actually, in the last however many years, I have actually, people who I know are retiring, I said, so what are you going to be doing? And I get the same one constant line, oh, all the things that I've always wanted to do. Like what? I don't know. Come Monday, what will you do? I don't know. I know I won't wake up when the alarm, I won't set the alarm clock, is some of the lines you get. So, you know, you get people who, they, to me, it's an alarm clock for most that goes off. Length of service, or you are now 65, or you're now 67. Thank you for working all these years. Don't come back on Monday.
I mean, I would hope for most people that they are making the decision. It's not like, well, you can't come back. It's like, okay, I've decided, I've reached this point, and I'm going to retire. But not much planning and much thinking seems to go into the preparation of it.
Right. I think more of the, you know what, I think more people, and again, I can only speak from my perspective. You know, people who have retired might say to us, you have no idea. You know, this is what's happening on that end. But from my perspective, me personally, and what I've seen, people are, I think folks are so concerned at that end in terms of the Social Security and how much am I going to get for Social, and the pension. And those are the things primarily I think people are focused on, their medical coverage, you know, Medicare kicking in, how much am I going to get for my pension, how much am I, but what else? What else makes up your life?
Okay, so let me give you some statistics, retirement statistics,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
And this is from the statistic brain. And it says the average age of retirement in the United States is 62.
Mm-hmm.
The average length of retirement is 18 years. The average savings of a 50-year-old is $43,000.
Mm-hmm.
The total cost for a couple over 65 to pay for medical treatment for over a 20-year span is $215,000.
Mm-hmm.
The percentage of people ages 30 to 54 who believe they will not have enough money to put away for retirement is 80%.
Mm-hmm.
The percentage of Americans over 65 who rely completely on Social Security is 35%.
Mm-hmm.
The percentage of Americans who don't save anything at all
mm-hmm.
for retirement is 36%.
Mm.
And the percentage of the population that is 65 years or older is 13% at any one time.
Okay. And that's growing from the baby boomers.
Yeah.
That's growing. But, again, I think it has to be a balance. I think when you see marketing folks advertising, be it print or any kind of media, they focus on planning, the financial portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you have enough invested? Do you have enough on the stock market?
Mm-hmm.
No, let's get real. Most people, majority of the percentage of people who have money themselves personally invested on the stock market is small.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's whatever investment or businesses that you're in. But again, the money that you have take care of yourself in retirement, that's only, only one part
right,
of it.
Right, so it's the financial part of retirement.
That most people are focused on.
Right.
Because I think there's more to you. Because when you're working and you're 40 and you're 50 or you're 30, there's more to you than the amount of money that you make, I would like to think.
Right, there's more to your life.
Of course. So then why is it any less when you are now 65 and you decide, I don't want to work anymore, at least this particular job. And that's another piece that we could talk about in terms of, because I don't show up at the place I did for 30 years or 20 years or 15 years, it does not mean that I can no longer contribute in a positive way and earn a living.
Okay. So then let's think about not so much the financial aspect of retirement.
Okay.
But the emotional aspect of retirement.
Okay.
Right? Because this, you know, Discussions with Delia focuses on, you know, becoming our better selves. How do we look at how we think about things, how we feel about things, and how do we behave?
Right.
Now, remember, you can call in to us. Our call-in number live, because we're live on the air right now, is 619-639-4621. And we'd love to hear what are your views on this, whether you are retired, too young to retire, too young to think about retiring, or on the brink of retiring. But what the emotional aspects of retiring, you know, how do you prepare yourself for that? Because especially if your identity
mm-hmm.
is wrapped up in what you do,
right?
You know,
right.
The role that you play at work,
right? That's who
if
you
that,
are.
If that's who you are,
mm-hmm.
and you lose that, then who are you? You know, who do you become?
Right.
And how you deal with that?
Right. And I guess probably that's the part that's an individual thing. And maybe the emotional part, as you said, is probably you don't realize how emotionally connected you are to that job until you're no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the family that you have. It's the social interaction that you have. You know, it's the routine that you have. You wake up every morning. By this time, you're doing this. By that time, you're at work. By 2 o'clock, you know, you're doing this. And you're seeing such and such a person and such a group. And it is your family. And now you no longer have it. But you never thought about it until you have now retired. Because leading up to retirement, like I said, I think too many people are what I see being more focused on, and I'm not taking away from the importance of it, they more focus on the financial aspect of it. How much do I have saved in my 401? How much do I have invested? How much is my pension? And so on. It's the rest of it. You have enough for Medicare to take care of you. You work long enough to have enough in a pension, what you need. You know, forget your wants. Your wants you can deal with in your own way. But you have enough to satisfy your needs. You were careful enough to have paid off your mortgage so that you finish your mortgage before you retired. Whatever. You listen to Susie Orman on TV. And all of that. So you did all of those responsible things. You lived within your means. But beyond your financial life, there has to be more to you.
Okay, and that's a good segue. Because one of the things, some of the strategies that's promoted as we go through the developmental life cycle, I'm looking at this document that says, so what can you do right to be ready in your 60s for this grand event of retirement? So this document suggests that in your 20s, you should be smart about debt, say no to more big tuition bills, enroll in your 401k plan, if you're that lucky, and establish good credit. So that's how you kind of launch, because like we said before, you know, this is what we're saying, it's a continuum. It's not an event that you start to plan for when you hit 50 or you hit 60 and you say, well, I got 5 years, so let me get things in order.
Right.
It's a continuum that of things that you have to do over time.
Right.
So
I guess at 20, someone had to have been telling you that
right
before.
Where do you get that information in your 20s?
Right.
Be smart about debt. Say no to your big tuition bills, which everybody's, you know, because that's what's being promoted. You want to get educated because you can't really make a decent living unless you...
Right, and you get opportunities to borrow money to go to school every day.
And then, so in your 30s, what should you do? Which seems kind of backwards to me, but let me hear what you think.
Good.
He says, create a budget.
Create a budget.
Pay yourself first.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
But I think that should be done from your 20s.
That should be done from the very first job you ever had.
Yeah. Get enough insurance coverage.
Okay.
And consider buying a house.
Okay. Those are circumstances specific, and
right,
you deal with your own circumstance.
Right. So, and these are classified. The 30s are considered retirement, vital planning years for retirement.
Okay.
So create a budget.
Okay.
Pay yourself first.
Okay.
Get enough insurance coverage, and consider buying a house if you can afford it. Don't be house poor.
Okay.
Okay. So, in your 40s, it says you shift into high gear.
Oh.
You get a savings strategy.
Okay.
Become an opportunistic shopper.
Okay.
Rebalance your portfolio.
Yeah.
Convert to a Roth IRA.
Okay. Did Susie Orman write this?
And no, she didn't. And reinvest in yourself.
What does that mean?
I don't know. But I'm thinking that if, you know, reinvesting in yourself might mean going back to school, say, you know,
okay,
retraining, you know.
Developing a new skill.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going, because then I have an issue with all of that.
Okay, so you want me to continue?
Do the 50s and then we'll stop there.
Okay, so we'll do the 50s. Retirement plans under siege is the heading.
God.
It says, cut off your grown kids. Exploit catch-up provisions. Look up long-term care. dial back your investment risk, which I guess is again about rebalancing,
right.
And know where you stand. So kind of like get a scope of, you know, where you're sitting.
Yeah.
So what are you saying about the...
It's all financial, though. It's all financial. I mean, I think people need to be more than just the money that they have. I'm not saying you should not be financially responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to me. Some people don't have an option. Some people don't have the opportunity to buy a house. They're better. Some people are better off being renters than they are owning homes. So it will vary. You know, not all jobs are created equal. So if all we focus is on the financial aspect of it, the Medicare of it, that of it, then it makes, by default, we have no reason to see retirement more than just a financial thing. This wall that opens up at a certain age and you walk through and you sit in your slippers in the morning and figure out how much money you have to spend. Your life has to be more than that.
Mm.
I think you have to develop interest that is going to transcend work. You have to have things that are more meaningful in your life, be it that, listen, here's a thought, and my personal thought is, whatever you do, if you have the opportunity to do it for yourself, try to do that. And therefore, retirement is not a number, it's not an age, it's not a term limit, it's something you do until you choose not to do it anymore. And if you're doing it for yourself and you have that opportunity to do it, and God forbid, you know, it would be a blessing if you're able to continue your job that you get paid for and cover your insurance and so on. But at the same time, you have the opportunity to do what you do best and what you love. And that's not work. That is something that will transcend your 9-to-5 and wherever they write your paycheck. So there has to be, again, to me, people should start thinking of ways in which more than just the money that you make and how much you put away and how much you invest and how much insurance you buy. Because if you buy $10 worth of insurance, you'll find someone else that tell you that you should have bought $100 or you should have bought $2. So there will always be an opinion on that in terms of financial things.
Mm-hmm. So emotionally, you know, when you think about, retirement is a new, or for most people who launch into it, is new.
Okay.
And probably comes with some sense of fear.
Okay.
Of, you know, what's going to happen.
Right.
So, you know, harken back to our, you know, the discussions we've had about fear and the fact that, you know, launching into it from an emotional perspective may generate a lot of fear, a lot of trepidation.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be connected to the money, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, maybe connected to the fact that, okay, so I can't look for something else next week. My time is not translating into money.
Yeah, but I think, though, you know, that is why planning more than just the financial piece when you're younger, when you're in your 20s and 30s, and you're, you know, when you're growing your career, you know, whatever that career might be, where you're not just thinking of today, you're thinking of tomorrow from a financial, and developing and broadening your level of interest and things that you are involved in, you know, because when you're no longer showing up at that building and punching that clock or signing in or whatever defines work for you, when that is no longer there, you know, sometimes you are no longer physically able to show up at that job. You might want to, you might be young enough, but still you can't physically work anymore. So it comes in all shape and sizes. How do you adjust your life?
Right.
And how do you adjust
How do you adjust your life emotionally
right.
for this event of...
Right.
of
I don't want to retire. I don't ever want to retire. You know, and that's my take. I mean, my take is, to me, retirement means I'm not doing anything. I am no longer thinking of ways to do things or something to do, or, you know, I might no longer show up at a particular place for work for someone to write a check and say, here is what I'm compensating you for. But I would like to think that I would, over the years, hope I live long enough, you know, to come up with ways in which to make that shift.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, that I don't see it as an event, as some culminating thing.
Mm-hmm.
I see it more as a transition, a part of the continuum of your life. So, and I think that's what I'm hearing you say.
Mm-hmm.
It's perhaps doing things differently,
mm-hmm.
But not necessarily showing up at, you know, an assigned place every day.
Right.
But still making significant contributions and feeling like you're making a worthwhile contribution
right.
with your life.
Absolutely.
So
I agree.
You know, so it's but you know, that may not necessarily mean you are a fill in the blank at company fill in the blank.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of people that I have met, retirees, are volunteering. They volunteer.
Yeah, a lot of people.
A lot of them.
Right.
And I tell you the truth. Some of them that do volunteer that I have met, they don't necessarily want to volunteer. They volunteer because they have nothing else to do. They didn't plan on anything else. Nothing else was there. So the volunteering becomes the social interaction that they had years ago rather than being alone somewhere. So, again, don't plan retirement when you are 50 and 60. I think plan, and let's not use the word retirement, plan your life every day, I think. And plan for, you know, plan for tomorrow, for things that you will grow and do and be excited about, rather than saying, I'm 65, I no longer can do this. There's, to me, there should be next to nothing that you can't do or you shouldn't plan on doing as long as your life allows it.
Okay. So Laurie, her name is Laurie Crystal Eagles, and
mm-hmm.
she's a life coach. And back in 2001, she did an interview about just this subject, about
mm-hmm.
how do you emotionally prepare for retirement?
Mm-hmm.
And she had three takeaways that I'd like to share that
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, are kind of pertinent. She advises to have a plan B.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to play golf or cards or watch TV, if that's what your retirement plan is,
mm-hmm.
then she advises that you have a plan B, because after 6 months or a year or 2 years of doing just
yeah.
that what you've been looking forward to doing,
yeah.
you may become bored.
Yes.
So therefore, think about what else you might want to explore. And then she advises, as a second point, to give yourself permission to explore.
I agree.
Try new things.
Learn
the piano. Learn a language. Learn to swim. Start a new career.
Right.
You know, engage in some other activity.
Right. I agree. But I think it's a matter of, so when do I start that?
Okay.
At 63? You know, when do I start that? When do I have any interest in traveling? Or when do I have any interest in...
Writing a book.
In writing a book.
Or
when do I have any interest in whatever, driving to Argentina? You know, when do I start developing my bucket list? And when do I start checking them off? I have to wait till I retire to do them? Or it's just another number, so therefore I just continue to do them?
And I think that's why this conversation is so relevant. Is
well,
that,
I'm too young to think about retirement.
Well, I don't know if you're ever too young to think about retirement.
I'm teasing.
You know? But, you know, there's this ad, and, you know, since you brought up this topic, there's this ad on TV where... The
yeah.
father and the son are out to to a meal,
uh-huh.
and both of them reach for the check,
uh-huh.
and you hear the voiceover saying, I wonder if he saved enough for retirement, and the other one said, I wonder if he's saving enough for, you know, the father's voice
right.
is saying, I wonder if he saved enough, and the son's voice is saying, I wonder if he saved enough,
right.
you know.
Right.
But looking at the two perspectives
right.
and saying. I don't know if it's ever too young to start thinking about it.
Because I
think everything, if it's a continuum, then everything that you're doing should kind of fit together like pieces in a puzzle.
Right. Right.
You know? And so in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s, because if you don't, and if you're a spender
mm-hmm.
in your 20s
mm-hmm.
and 30s
mm-hmm.
and 40s, it's going to impact what you're able to do in your 50s and 60s.
I agree.
And if you rack up a lot of debt, it's going to impact what you're able to do.
Right.
So I think that it all fits together,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so it's never too young to start thinking about retiring.
Right. But I think, well, I mean, my thing is retirement should not just be about the financial component of it. I think there's more to it. And, you know, there's, again, I'll make reference to a commercial as well that I've noticed on TV where the man talked about, you know, what would you do if you know, you got paid to do what you love to do?
Oh, yeah, like that.
You know, and where it says, and that's what retirement is. You pay yourself to do what you would like to do. But were you developing interests? Were you thinking of more than just the job? Is that the only thing that defined you? And if you weren't at work, you were on vacation worrying about work, you know, or you were away from work worrying about work, and it becomes you, and it's, you know, it's the ID that you have. It's the alphabets after your name, you know, and there's not much more that you are focused on. You know, I think planning for retirement or planning for whatever, you could retire at 50. You know, if your lifestyle allows it and your financial situation and so on and so forth. So it's only a number. It's what is it that you're going to enjoy? What is it that you're going to do?
Right. So that then the third point that this coach suggests, Lori Crystal Eagle, is that you should be gentle with yourself as you transition into that third chapter of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because mostly we haven't had many people kind of model for us what retirement looks like.
Right.
So, and retirement will look very different for us now than it did for our parents and our grandparents.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so being patient with yourself is an important component of being able to make this successful transition into this next phase where you're paying yourself to do what you love.
Right.
You know? So,
Yeah. Oh, wow. Good time. Well, yeah, but I think, but this also ties into parenting, though, in a day. I think that 20-something-year-old young man or young lady who finished undergrad and goes to grad school or goes to law school and gets the big job or whatever, you know, the financial responsibilities or how they manage money, you know, that's even a topic I think we could do or explore, not because we are, you know, any financial guru, but not from that perspective, but just the significance of being responsible with how you, you know, how
you prepare
from a financial sense as well, you know. But parents, you know, recognizing the influence that they have on their children or their young folks, they, you know, when now that they're working, they're not in college anymore, they're earning a living. How does a child learn about paying themselves first and the significance of that? How does a child learn, or a young man or a young woman learn, how to prioritize in how they pay bills and so on? Some learn by trial and error. Some just never learn, you know. So therefore, as you say, you're now 30 and 40 and 50, and you say, oh, my gosh, I have a lot of catching up to do for that number that everyone tells me where I will no longer make this much money because I have so much debt, I've incurred so much, so my life is going to change, and I was not prepared for it.
Right, right. I think that, you know, it's you know, this is really an interesting discussion about how we choose to look at our lives, how we choose to live our lives. And it's, you know, it's not so much about retirement as it is about your life as a whole, you know. You know, what's the legacy that you're creating, you know? And, you know, what do you want to focus your energy on when primary focus is not, you know, carving out and living?
Right.
So, you know, I think, you know, impacting the next generation, teaching our children, you know, being good to each other.
Yeah,
you know?
I think so. All right,
so.
It's only a job.
Yeah.
It's only a job, and I think your life is yours, and your life has to be more than just the job.
Right, and more than just, you know, waiting for 65.
Waiting for a number.
Yeah. So next week we have coming up next week, right?
Right.
And we're not sure what it is that he would like to discuss, but we'll keep you informed. So until next week.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, peace and blessings.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com and like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at DiscussionDelia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and blessings.